And by the way, none of the speakers today have any financial disclosure or any conflicts of interest. So I want to talk to you about a study that we designed. I want to give you the overview, and all of the results today that you hear will be based on this study. So first, I want to acknowledge the people who have worked on the study, the co-investigators and the research assistants and the program coordinator, and also want to acknowledge the funding agency. As well, this has been a joint collaboration between the Hopkins Center of Health Disparity Solutions, Maharik Medical College, and the Sydney Kimmel Comprehensive Center at Johns Hopkins University. So, in addition to the fact that African American men have higher incidence rates and higher death rates than white men, prostate cancer death rates than white men, they also have, they're diagnosed at an earlier age and at later stages, and they also have more metastatic disease than white men. African American men also receive fewer treatment options than their white counterparts, and those who are treated for prostate cancer, they exhibit a diminished quality of life after treatment than white counterparts. So although African American men have a worse health profile than their white counterparts, there's very little research that has been conducted on understanding psychosocial correlates and how they contribute to the race differences in diagnosis, treatment, and quality of life. So the research team designed the what we call the Diagnosis and Decisions in Prostate Cancer Treatment Outcome Study. And instead of saying it the whole time, we call it the DAD study. And then with the overall objective of the DAD study was to explore factors that influence race differences in prostate cancer, diagnosis, treatment, mortality, and quality of life. So I'll talk about the study design of the DAD study. Our sampling frame, it consisted of men who self-identified as African-American or white, who entered the North Carolina Central Cancer Registry between January 2003 and January 2009. And we used the rapid case ascertainment procedure. And so each month, the rapid case ascertainment staff, they contacted these primary research network hospitals to request a report of people identifying people who met our sampling frame criteria. They also, once they got the list of people, they would send out a brochure describing the actual North Carolina Central Cancer Registry and informing them that they may be contacted in the future to participate in the study. And then also our study staff, we sent a letter to the physician of record in the cancer registry of each eligible participant and notifying them of our intent to contact the participant about enrolling in the study. And we allowed, the physicians were given 3 weeks to reply that if they did not want their patient to be contacted. And at the end of those 3 weeks, if we didn't hear from them, we went ahead and sent them a letter. And if the physician didn't participate, we sent out a letter and asked describing the study and a copy of the consent form. And then after we sent that letter out about a week later, we would contact the eligible participant to answer any questions that they may have and seek their participation. So here's a picture of the study eligibility and participation of the black and white men in the DAD study. So our sample, we had a total of 2,328 men who were part of the screening sample. And then among those 2,328, we actually screened 1,652. And during our screening, 46 people were ineligible. We couldn't contact 270 of the people, and then 509 people refused. But in this 509 people that refused, 477 refused, and 32 of the physicians refused to allow the patient to participate. And then we enrolled 827 of the African-American and white men. So the topics that were covered in the DAD study, these are just broad definitions. We covered the demographics. We covered the family history. And we covered some sources of prostate information. We asked questions about decision-making, religious beliefs, and religious coping. We had a general quality of life measure, social support, satisfaction with care, attitudes with care. As you can see, we actually asked a lot of different, a lot more questions dealing with psychosocial issues than what has been previously asked in the past, and we believe that's one of our key strengths of the DAD study. And the ones that are highlighted in red are the ones that I'm going to show you some, highlight some race differences between black and white men in the findings and moving forward. And also these four areas, these three areas, these other three speakers will be presenting some analysis in depth on sources of prostate information, decision making, and religious beliefs and religious coping. So here you have the demographic characteristics by race. Here we see that the African Americans on average are younger and are less likely to be married than white men. And with regard to SES characteristics, we see that African American men have a lower average income than white men. And although African American men were more likely to be high school graduates, fewer of them went on to get advanced degrees, get on to get college degrees or advanced degrees. African American men were less likely to be full-time employees, employed full-time, or more likely to be disabled. So I want to talk a few moments about, each of the groups, dimensions that we have in our survey. What I'll do and what follows is I'll show you the question that was asked, and then I'll show you the black-white differences that follows behind. I'll show the chart of the figure of the black-white difference that follows. So the question, there is a question in the survey that asks about the sources of prostate cancer information, and we asked men to report whether they receive information regarding prostate cancer treatment from these following sources. Here we have a graph, and we see that African American men are represented by the blue bar, and white men are represented by the gold bar. And we see that African American men were less likely to use the library, bookstore, support group, internet, friend, or ask a friend or relative, or use sources of information from National Cancer Institute or the American Cancer Society than white men. They were equally likely to use information from pamphlets from their physician or videos from their physician. Next is the individual support and decision-making for treatment. Here we ask men to report who they receive support from and making their decision regarding prostate cancer treatment. And these were the different responses. And here we have African American men were less likely to seek advice from a wife or a partner compared to white men. They were more likely to seek advice from their children, less likely to seek advice from a friend or a neighbor or someone else who had been treated for prostate cancer. And they were also less likely to get a second opinion from a doctor than white men. Now turning to cancer-related religious beliefs and diagnosis. So here we asked the men to report whether they believe in God, and also not only whether they believe in God, we also asked their level of agreement in the following different questions. So here's the percent agreement on the religious beliefs in prostate cancer. We see that African-Americans overall, African American men have a strong religious belief component compared to the white men, indicated by 98% of them believe in God or a higher power of force compared to the 90% of white men. The African American men also believe that getting prostate cancer was a way, they agree that getting prostate cancer was a way to test their faith in God as compared to the 12% of white men that agree with that. And since being diagnosed with prostate cancer, my faith in God has gotten stronger. My faith in God has helped me to cope with the disease. The African American agreed with that. had a higher percentage of agreeing with that compared to whites. And whether or not I'm cured will be decided by God only. And they had a much higher percentage compared to the white, to white men. And I, if I pray enough, I will be cured. 56% of the African-American men agree with that compared to the 18%, almost 20% of the white men. And for the general quality of life measure, the general quality of life measure we used was the FACT-P. FACT-P was a is a 12-item subscale that is added to the FACT-G instrument, and is combined to come to make a 47-item scale with the following dimensions: physical well-being, social family well-being, relationship with doctor, emotional well-being, and functional well-being. The additional concerns, this dimension here for additional concerns, is in fact where the 12 questions of the regarding prostate cancer are listed. And here are the scores, the FACT-P scores by race. And on all of the FACT-P scores by race, we see African Americans, well, a higher score indicates better quality of life. Let me back up. A higher score indicates a better quality of life. And we see on all these measures, with the exception of relationship with doctors, all the measures, African Americans have a lower average score than their white counterparts. So to conclude, what I've shown you today is some brief findings on the DAD study, just looking at crude race differences. And first finding is that African American men receive fewer sources of information regarding prostate cancer treatment than white men. The second one is African American men appear to be more self-reliant when they make their decisions regarding treatment for prostate cancer. And African American men are more reliant on religious faith for coping with prostate cancer than white men. And then finally, African American men display a diminished quality of life than white men. The implications of these, just these brief findings, is that African American men, they may be less well-informed partners in the decision-making process, which may contribute to the well-documented disparities that we see in patient outcomes and in quality of life. And so this concludes my presentation. The next set of presentations you have, you'll hear from my colleagues, who will talk specifically about they'll delve deeper into the relationships of sources of information, religious faith and coping, and treatment decision and making. The first, at this time, I'd like to introduce Dr. Janice Bowie, who will be talking to us about religious faith and coping.